Mouthpiece Podcast, Episode 4.
I hear there's rumors on the internets.
I have a dream. My four little children one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
Roll over, President, I have a dream today. You won't like what you can't see. Nobody knows the day you discovered a thing called electricity. Now your face is legal tender, but nobody knows your name. Who you were, or what you did, or nothing about your fame. The dumbing of America. The dumbing of America.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? You're listening to the substandard edition of the Mouthpiece Podcast. It's episode 4. That's Tadago Pie with the dumbing of America. Posting this a little bit late tonight because I was at a State of the Union watch party. And many interesting things came out tonight in the speech. None that I exactly am thrilled about, but I'm just thinking back to the last State of the Union, where Social Security was the highlight point. Actually, when President Bush came to Fargo, North Dakota, me and the girlfriend were in the audience at the auditorium he spoke at. And I have to say, you know, for all the politicians that I've actually heard speak, I have never been so underwhelmed ever, I think. Very underwhelmed. It was a huge crowd. They shut down one of the busier streets in Fargo, North Dakota, and had people lined up down the middle of the street, freezing cold outside. And you get inside, and I don't know. I knew all the Republicans back in North Dakota, and you're just kind of watching all the Republicans file in, and people who were just interested in seeing the president and would have applauded it just about anything he said. And he got up and gave a really underwhelming speech about Social Security. This was right around, I think it was actually, might have been the day after the State of the Union when he was speaking. We were one of the first stops, and not very impressive. Versus, you know, pre-campaign, this is before the Democrats had narrowed down the field to John Kerry. John Kerry stopped through town, and we saw him speak. And there, yes, I mean, you're dealing with party loyalists. It was given at the Fargo Air Museum, so you have a certain group that he was definitely targeting in that run. But the speech was really captivating. It motivated you. It saw you. You were seeing him as a human. And two very odd things from that was actually about halfway through the speech, there was a veteran, older gentleman, I'd say probably 70 or 80 years old, you know, somewhere towards the front of the crowd. And he collapsed because it was hot in there. This guy fainted. And I have never seen someone so spry in my life. John Kerry, who was dressed in kind of a, you know, a heavier canvas coat and khakis, and I'll never forget it, these huge clunky brown boots. He jumped off the stage and ran into the audience and helped this guy up and grabbed chairs off the dais and stuff. I mean, it was just so bizarre. And I also remember I took a couple people that I knew from my campus. This was when I was going to NDSU for political science. I pulled a couple of my friends in to go see this rally, and I was just desperate to get signs and stuff from everyone who was coming through town. And I went up to this woman who seemed a little frantic, but looked like she might be a part of the campaign, and asked if she had any more signs or stickers or anything, and she just looked at me like I was crazy. And my girlfriend did, you know, she's standing there with me, and later on she kind of observed that we we seem to have really offended his campaign staff. And this is before I really knew who anyone was in the election, and it turns out that we had actually asked Teresa if she had any stickers or signs. And so, yeah, asking John Kerry's wife about stickers and signs at a rally in Fargo. That was a very interesting rally in that afterwards it was for the Super Bowl. So he was actually in town for the Super Bowl. So he went to one of the sports bars there in town to watch the Super Bowl. Anyway, posh posh. One interesting thing from tonight was one of the people that was in attendance, well, was supposed to be in attendance, Cindy Sheehan was actually in the fifth gallery, seat 7, row A. She was invited by Representative Lynn Woolsey of California to sit through the State of the Union, and actually right before President Bush went to speak, she was sitting there and revealed a t-shirt with some sort of anti-war slogan on it, and was immediately grabbed by police, arrested, and hauled down to the police headquarters a couple blocks away. I was less surprised that she would have the anti-war slogan t-shirt, and more surprised that she even would get in the first place. That's a kind of a hotbed thing to do, a little bit strange, but, you know, what you gonna do? I just found that a little bit interesting. Anyway, one thing that I do in my spare time is listen to podcasts. Go figure. It's become quite an obsession of mine, and I've been trying to narrow down some of my favorites, and I think I'll start letting people know what I'm listening to and why I'm listening to and who I'm listening to. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm really tired. I'm actually recording this show. It's 1:53 in the morning here, which gives you some sort of idea how my brain is functioning now. Anyway, Ricky Gervais. If you haven't checked out the Ricky Gervais podcast yet, I have never laughed so hard. We are incredible fans of the Extras series on HBO Extras. I think it was only like 6 shows, but you had Ben Stiller and Patrick Stewart and Samuel L. Jackson. I mean, just hilarious show. In The Office, all the stuff he's done with that. But this podcast, it's going to be 12 episodes, half an hour each, and they're up to episode 9 now, I think. It's him and Steve something or another. I'm sorry, guys. I just can't remember anything today. Not functioning on full steam. And Carl Pilkington. And I remember that name very much so because I think he's definitely he's the thing that drives the show. It's like Ricky and Steve just sit there and Carl says stuff and they just laugh at him. And, you know, that sounds really boring and everything, but it absolutely makes the show. I'll put a link in the show notes. Just go check this thing out. Download one episode. I guarantee you, you'll get all the rest of them. And it sounds like they're going to do another series after he finishes shooting the new season of Extras for HBO. Also, the other day we were talking about a story that was on JoeBlow.com about A Night at the Museum. It's that new Ben Stiller movie. I was saying that Robin Williams was actually being brought in to play Teddy Roosevelt. Other people in the cast. It's Ben Stiller, Dick Van Dyke, Mickey Rooney, Robin Williams, Kim Raver, and actually Ricky Gervais has jumped in to take a role on this movie. He is going to play the museum director to Ben Stiller's night guard in this movie. So definitely worth checking that out. Again, as I said, we're going to be taking a lot of stuff from JoeBlow.com until they take it away from us. I sent in an email. I actually had a conversation with JoeBlow himself about using some of their material on the podcast. And he is, I don't know, that site, there's just something about it. I have to check it every single day. Anyway, that was on there. Also, I'm a big fan of the Coen brothers. If you like the Big Lebowski or Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And, you know, I lived in Fargo, so definitely Fargo. They've been attached to a couple different things, and, you know, they haven't made anything since Lady Killers, the Tom Hanks one. I think that was back in 2004. Anyway, they were attached to doing, like, a 1920s-style comedy called Hail Caesar, and, you know, nothing's happened with that. And then there was another one, Suburbicon, but now it sounds like they're going to be doing some sort of adaptation of Cormac McCarthy's No Country for Old Men. I'm just going to read what they have on Joe Blow. It centers on someone called Llewellyn Moss, who is out hunting in southwest Texas in 1980 and finds several dead men and a heroin stash and $2.4 million in cash. And he takes the cash and drugs and then finds himself having to run from some ex-special forces agent who's working for the drug cartel, and then there's a psychotic murderer with a cattle gun and an aging sheriff with personal demons. And I'm just thinking I need to read this book. It sounds definitely like something the Coen brothers would do, but this book sounds interesting of itself. I know the Coen brothers have really big ties up here. Actually, speaking of Fargo, Fargo really wasn't featured too terribly much in the movie Fargo, but they have taken every opportunity to capitalize on it. In downtown Fargo, there is the Fargo Theater, and we're talking old Art Deco style. It's beautiful. It's a movie palace style theater, runs primarily specialty movies. The last movie I saw there actually was The Triplets of Belleville. Anyway, they have like a Wurlitzer that comes out of the stage and everything. But upstairs, if you're able to get to Fargo, North Dakota, if you're making your Coen Brothers pilgrimage, they have a chainsaw sculpture of Margie in the second story, like, balcony area. Definitely worth checking out. Also, last story from JoeBlow.com, and then we'll move on. Marilyn Manson, it looks like, will be making his directorial debut in a movie called Phantasmagoria, The Visions of Lewis Carroll. And it sounds like Marilyn Manson is actually going to star as Lewis Carroll. I guess Angelina Jolie is in talks to play the Red Queen in this. So, strange, and we'll see how that pans out. But certainly something interesting to watch out for. I do a lot of clicking around, just randomly trying to find interesting things to feed my mind late at night. And something I stumbled across the other day is the Lycos 50. From the Lycos search engine. For the week ending January 28th, the number one search that people were doing was for poker. Now, the whole reason I found this is because I was trying to find some more information on the popularity of podcasting. I had read some story someplace saying that podcasting was not hitting, like, the highest it could hit on the trend charts. And one thing that occurred to me is that with iTunes, if you are running an iPod with iTunes, you really don't have much reason to go online and search for a podcast. Most everything is delivered through iTunes these days, at least most anything worth listening to, including this podcast. By the way, for just the sheer number of people that I have listening to this show, I am kind of shocked at how few people are listening on iTunes, and I have to say my goal is to get on the iTunes featured podcast, so for the, I don't know, 60% of you who aren't listening through iTunes, if you could just, you know, Yes, iPod, you know, whatever. Shift it over to iTunes for me. Even for a week. If you could just, like, open your iTunes, just put it on there. Listen however you're listening, but just open it on iTunes. I'm just trying to get counted for everyone who is listening not on iTunes. So maybe we can get the listenership up, because frankly, there wasn't much email. In fact, it's mainly just emails from people trying to sell me stuff, more in part two of the show. So yeah, I was doing just some random searches to see how iPod and podcasting and some of those things were hitting on the search engines. And actually, there's a note saying that they had apparently, both the terms iPod and podcasting had just fallen off the Lyco's top 50. In with these, I mean, it's very interesting, the NFL, Kaza, Britney Spears, Paris Hilton, NBA, Eminem, just on and on. I don't know. I'm just kind of surprised at some of the stuff people have been looking for. Tupac Shakur, Hilary Duff, Clay Aiken, Christmas. Of all things, we're talking the end of January 28th, and Christmas is one of the things that people are still searching for. I don't know. Demographically, looking at some of the stuff that's on here, Harry Potter, Lindsay Lohan, Camaro, Shakira, Oprah, Barbie. I really don't know who the demographic using Lycos is. Is it the American Idol set, or I just don't know. This seems so strange because I don't know. I don't think I've searched for any of these things within like the last 6-7 billion years ever. I don't think I've ever looked for any of these things. So apparently, it's nothing but little teenage girls and sports fans on Lycos. Anyway. Also, surfing around, I found a very interesting picture of Michael Jackson. I'm sure, you know, if you're plugged into TV or whatever, you've probably seen it. But it's a picture of Michael Jackson shopping. I guess he was out shopping in a mall in Bahrain somewhere, and he was dressed like a woman in, like, full-on burqa garb, and just really strange. But adding to the strange, while doing some searches, what happened to Janet Jackson? Did I miss the memo or something, but what happened? I'm a big guy, okay? I'm a big guy. I'm willing to admit it regularly. Again, late. I'm fat, okay? And I have to say that Janet Jackson is giving me a run for the money right now. Definitely the sweatpants are what give it away, but this is like a rapid decline. Anyway, the pictures will be on the show notes in case you want to see what I'm talking about. Seriously, though, come on, sweatpants. Yeah, well, we'll try to keep plunging along on this substandard 2 a.m. podcast recording. Frankly, because there are no emails. Now, that's no real surprise, I guess, given the last few episodes. So, no emails, no problem. I'm not even going to continue to ask for them. I'm just going to say, if you have something to send me, send it to MrMouthpiece@gmail.com. Many people have found the address, and they certainly know how to send stuff through. I received something from the Venture Investment Company, which is introducing their company to me. They are a modest Cayman Islands-based European business and finance consultancy service offering services in midline businesses and individuals in Europe who desire to expand into other countries or business activities. They need, $25 million in a covert It's really an elaborate, highly worded spam, and I was just so impressed with it that I thought I'd read it. Let's see, who else? From the Banque Internationale du Benin, Rue Club de la Mite, Mr. Andrew Osaz. He needs to transfer $28.5 million overseas and really could use my bank account to do that, for which he would... he wants to transfer $16 million U.S. dollars to a safe account abroad, and I, for some reason, am going to be able to do this. He wants to tell me that this transaction is 100% risk-free and legal because all documents that will back up his transaction will be available so that nobody will question the fund, except for gullible idiots who haven't figured that one out yet. This one's from Maxwell Ubanko. He needs a business relationship. Let's see. He, too, will be moving around $25 million. Also 100% risk-free. And for my assistance, he's offering me 20% of the money he will bilk from my account. Anyway, if you'd like to get in touch with him and have him send $25 million to your bank account and then wipe out everything you have, the email we're all going to band together and spam back is MaxwellUbanko@netscape.net. That's MaxwellUbanko@netscape.net. 'Cause, yeah, that's how that works. People, seriously, don't, like, be dumb and send your bank information to this idiot now that I've said that address. What I am proposing is that we send him an email, I don't know, every 10 minutes for the next week and a half and just see what happens. Let's send them until they start bouncing, because I think that's kind of funny. Anyway, no real show notes from those, but we are going to cut the show off early. It's 2:20 in Minneapolis, and I am tired. So we're going to head out the show today with Sudden Death and a song aptly called Spam. Episode 5 will be dramatically better. I'm going to cut it fairly early in the evening tomorrow. I actually was stockpiling material because I wanted to get a show out. I'm just trying to be good and give you daily shows because I know you love them and all. And yes, gonna be going under the knife, a drill to the mouthpiece tomorrow. So anyway, wish me luck. You guys have a great night. And just a reminder, all the music on the show comes from the Pod Show, PodSafe Music Network. In case you'd like to find out anything about the artists, visit my show notes where I'll have links, or simply go to music.podshow.com to find out more. Guys, have a great day. I will get back to you in episode 5. Thank you very much for listening. A ciao.
I got 700 messages, 3 are from friends who try to guilt me into sending their crap back to them. All the rest, I would guess, just some kind of a scam that prevails in my mail in the form of spam. There's an African queen, and I'm the one she selects, 'cause she's got $20 million that she has to protect. She can't wait and would appreciate a timely answer, and all she needs is my bank number for the transfer. Sure. Oh yeah, that's...
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.